The 100 Years' War, the De Guesclin period. England goes spy nuts. Now, the pressure to find out enemies within the realm came mainly from below and resulted in a large number of baseless accusations. The commons had always believed that the heads of alien priorities, however long naturalized, were French in their bones. They were convinced that these men reported on English coastal defenses to their superiors in France. In 1373, they had petitioned for the removal of all those living within 20 leagues of the sea. In 1377, they called for their complete expulsion. A single foreign monk with knowledge of a coastline and the tides, they later declared, could organize the landing of 1,000 enemy troops on a tide or 2,000 at night. There had, in fact, been one notorious case which the commons did not allow the government to forget, involving John Bouquet, a French prior of the Benedictine monastery on Hayling Island in the Solent. He was removed to an inland house after he had been found with incriminating correspondence in his possession in 1369. But there was no evidence of widespread treachery amongst foreign churchmen, and the government had hitherto been content to exact an oath from them that they would not reveal the state, affairs, or secrets of the realm to any foreigner. Even Bouquet, who was probably a fool rather than a traitor, was eventually allowed to return to Hayling on giving security for his good behavior. Then the Benedictine prior of Pembroke, John Rougecock, came from the Normandy area. He was arrested and sent to London for interrogation in April of 1377, at a time when the French were thought to be about to land in South Wales, but nothing seems to have been found against him. He too was allowed to return. There was, however, a notable change of mood in the autumn of 1377 after Jean de Vienne's raids on the south coast. In December, the government fully agreed to expel foreign clergymen, with the exception of heads of houses, employed chaplains, and beneficed clergymen who were known good and loyal men not suspected of spying. The exceptions, ironically, covered most of the more prominent targets of the commons, including Bouquet and Rougecock, both whom stayed behind. But some hundreds of others sailed from Dover early the following year, violently expelled as a Norman abbot complained to the Pope. Thus ended another of many cultural and economic links which had joined the English and French society since the 11th century. It was characteristic of the popular animosities behind this policy that most spy scares the following years were the result of denunciation rather than official action. Walter Wyron, an archer from Warwickshire, who had fought at the Battle of La Rochelle, found himself arrested as a spy when he returned with a French accent after 6 years of captivity. His relatives vouched for him, but others were less fortunate. They were arrested on suspicion and held in prison indefinitely because they were friendless strangers or too poor to find sureties. In 1380, it was reported that Newgate Prison in London was packed with a great number of these wretches. The sheriffs eventually called on anyone who had any evidence against it to produce it. This resulted in just 8 of them being prosecuted, all of whom were acquitted. According to the sheriff's report, nothing was found against any of them, except that they were strangers in the city at a time when the enemy galleys were known to be cruising off the coast, and that they were running hither and thither about the place like spies. So this is one of the little repercussions after that particular series of incidents with, of course, the French fleet of Jean Vienne. But now things are going to really turn bad for the English because, you know, they've been battered very heavily in the Aquitaine area and are losing control of it. And their one little bulwark there is Calais. And now Jean de Vienne's fleet, which had been harassing England, is now going to head over there to deal with helping the Duke of Burgundy as he tries to get it back. So we'll be going to the continent and dealing with the first major French offensive since 1350 against the English position in Calais. So it's been a long time, and it will start actually at the beginning of September 1377. But it will be quite a long, drawn-out affair, unless the English just turn and surrender. So that's where we're heading next. So 1377 has been pretty wide open compared to what we've been looking at peace talks for several months. Now the sources for this, the Hundred Years' War, the Chronicles by Froissart, the Hundred Years' War by Perrois, the Hundred Years' War by Nylans, and the Hundred Years' War, The House Divided, Volume 3 by Sumption. So I hope you enjoyed that. And as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com. And ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.